Hello and welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Brady Fitzgerald, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Hagan.
How you guys doing?
Back at home, Chris. You can see on the YouTube, you can see the background has changed yet again. Last time at home for summertime. I wanted to bring up this point before we started the pod on basketball stuff, because our class of 2020 in high school, and now class of 2024, or in your case, class of 2023, and in my case, December 2024. But the majority of our class that we graduated high school with is now graduated in college. And it's weird to see, like, when I was, like, all my friends that I met that graduated this year, it was weird to, like, actually have to say goodbye, because when we graduated high school, it was just like, boom, COVID, see ya. Like, nobody, like, yeah. We didn't have to say goodbyes, yeah, have parties, yeah, nobody went anywhere. And I don't know, it was just weird thinking about it. Like, I was thinking about it in the car at home, I was like, it was half the people in high school that I'll never see again. I had no idea I was never going to see them again. And then, like, yeah, these people that I see at the bars every week, it's like, oh, well, I'm just probably never going to see them again.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot different, because when you go off to college, everyone comes back for break, yeah, and for the summer. So you still, like, the people that you used to hang out with, if you want to stay in touch with them, you can see them during those times. Mm-hmm. Whereas in college, once you're graduated, you're getting a job and you're moving somewhere, and you're not, like, coming home for the summer, or so everyone's not in the same place anymore. Like, if you're lucky, you get somebody or a few people that you know that move to the same city as you.
Yeah, it's so weird. I guess it's just
that's the big difference.
Yeah. And I guess it's just, you know, it's real. Adulthood is settling in, and it's coming quick. And I guess you've been working for a year now. So, all right. Well, I gotta make this semester last. But let's talk into basketball. Not talk about how old we're getting. We'll talk. If I'll stay somber for a second, and we'll talk about the damn Celtics. And it's funny. Like, I don't care that we lost this game. I don't think it was a sign that we're going to lose more. I figured we were going to lose one of these games. This team is really, it's hard for me to get, like, so invested in, because the second we don't win the finals, I'm just in shambles. It's a complete mistake. Like, this whole season was just a complete waste. So, like, the bar is so high that it's like we're still in the regular season. It's like, I'm just like, all right, whatever. Like, I don't think they're going to win three more of these games. I think they had a great night. The Celtics played terribly. They did the same thing against the Heat. I think after these game ones, I don't know if the Celtics just, like, get too big for their britches and, like, think, oh, we could just blow out everyone by 40, because they've been doing it for half the playoffs. But they had the same thing as Miami game two. It was a wake up call, I guess. I don't know why they need a wake-up call. We're back. We're already back on wake-up. We're already on. Yeah, we're already back on the wake-up. Well, they do it to themselves. They just stay awake.
Like, it is. It's like watching the same team again.
Yep.
It's just, even with higher expectations this year.
Yeah, and yeah. Yep. And I like the bench. I love the team. The team's great. I think last night's game, they played terribly. There was, like, highlights from last night's game, and I know Jason Tatum led the team in scoring. Guy needs to cut. I saw a highlight reel of him standing in the corner, and, like, a highlight reel of him, like, standing on the perimeter. And, like, if you cut to the basket, you could have 45 a game, Tatum. Like, I don't know why he's so consistent about having to shoot the three and having to shoot the jump shot. When you could just drive to the basket and you're bigger than half the people on the Cavs. Like, someone I saw on Twitter last night that he's the MJ of Tobias Harris's. Jason Tatum is the MJ of Tobias Harris's. And that,
I love those comparisons.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. But it hurt my feelings, because I was like, Tatum is a better player than Tobias Harris, but he's playing like Tobias Harris, where he's just standing in the corner, waiting for a spot, facilitating. And, like, he does all that.
Tobias Harris didn't get a single point in their elimination game. So let's not knock him down that low.
Thank you, Chris.
But I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I don't know why he ended up playing like that. That's more of the concern, I guess. And, you know, Jaylen Brown had a bad night. Derek White didn't have a good night. Literally no one else had a good night, really, at all.
I mean, no one did. Like, when you look at the three-point shooting numbers, it's horrible.
Yeah, 8 for 35. Eesh. Yeah, it's like, this is just one of those games. I mean, the Cavs shot 46%.
And like, you're not going to have a night like that every night.
No. No, 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 no. We're not. Yeah, this is not going to last. Huh? Yeah.
I thought you said that. No.
I was just saying, we're not going to.
Something that just wrecked your whole world.
No, we're. Yeah, they had, like, we even had less turnovers. It just, the shots weren't falling. It was one of those games. I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. I'm still not going to be worried. It's just going to be like, the focus is still for me on the finals. I'm not worried about this Knicks team. I'm not worried about the Cavs. And it's really, you know, I hate bitching about it because it's such like a first world problem, but it's like the fact that I don't care until the finals. And the only thing that'll make me happy is them winning the finals. That's the only thing that'll make me happy. And it's a hard spot to be in.
That's the first world problems of first world problems.
Yes. Yeah. It's the peak of problems. The first this world is the 1%
caring
problems.
About basketball.
Yeah. This is the 1% of problems. And
yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
It's not worth worrying about.
No,
if they lose game three.
Yes, then we're going to be talking.
Then you pause for a second.
Yeah, then we pause for a second. We see what's going on. See what they really need. But like they have these on games. They have these off games, and the home record has been bad for like the past, I think, 4-5 seasons. I think they're 13-13 at home in the playoffs. That's pretty bad, especially because the Celtics crowd, bless you. The Celtics crowd is always pretty good, so it's not like there's no fans showing up, you know? So it's annoying, it's frustrating, but it's the same thing I've seen the past 4 years. Let's win the damn finals already. So tired of seeing, like, it's...
What's your confidence level at?
My confidence level, it's still what, it's at like at a scale of 10, it's 8.5, 9.
They're going to win the finals?
No, that they're going to make the finals. That they're going to win the finals?
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna lower that to a 6. I'm gonna give it above 50%.
Okay.
But I know we're gonna talk about Nuggets, Timberwolves later. The fact that the Timberwolves have this mindset of like, let's just go at these guys and like play our ass off, go balls to the wall. That is what the Celtics need. And the Celtics are playing.
He's scared to death of Edwards.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I will be, because I feel like they're we'll talk about them later. They have a very good shot of making it out of the West. I don't know why they don't have this killer instinct. It's been year after year after year where they've been talking about how you need a killer instinct. I feel like I've come on this pod that they need this alpha dog instinct.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
That we said that when they traded for Porzingis.
Yep, that they needed someone to step up.
Like, you just dumped like your biggest dog for.
I know, and like Drew Holiday is supposed to be a dog, and like he's a dog on defense, but he's not a dog on offense. Derek White can be a dog if he has it up.
There's once you get past the Cavs, every team you're going to face, the other team is going to have the guy who you trust more with the ball at the end of the game. Like even the Knicks, you'd rather have Brunson than anyone on the Celtics, I think. You'd rather have Luka, you'd rather have Edwards.
Yeah,
Jokic and Shea.
Because you were...
I'm taking all those guys. No offense.
No.
I'm taking all those guys. 20 seconds, need a bucket. I'm taking all of them over Tatum.
If you remember what my concerns were in the middle of the season, even though they had won 64 games, or like at the end of the season, was that was the key.
Oh, yeah. We had this exact conversation in like January.
Yeah. Like the last 4 minutes, the Celtics are terrible. They're terrible in the last 4 minutes. Yeah. And it's because they don't have that go-to guy.
Earlier than that.
Yeah, it could be like the last.
About this in like November.
Yeah, yeah, and they've been waiting all season for someone to step up as the alpha in the last 4 minutes, and it hasn't come to fruition. I think Jaylen Brown thinks it's him. I think Tatum thinks it's him. And it's like one of the nights it's going to be one of the two guys, but they need to figure it out before the 4 minutes comes, who's going to do it. Like, we need to have some plays out here that are like, this is where Jason gets his bucket. This is where Jalen gets his bucket.
Is that a coaching thing, or is that just like a player mentality thing?
I can't tell. I think, like, there wasn't a go-to guy when it was Udoka, and I do think Udoka is a better coach than Joe Mazzulla. I think it's a player thing. I think it's one of the, like, Anthony Edwards steps up and he controls the team. It's not his coach saying, like, you need to control the team. And Tatum just doesn't, control the team. I haven't seen him as a leader of this team. And it's now going into year, like, seven, you know, six, seven. You got to be a leader at some point, Tatum, because you've been crowned the best player on this team. He had a weird quote at the end of the game. He did take some responsibility about not being great, but he had a weird thing where it's like, oh, the Celtics are poised as a super team, but we have no award winners, get no recognition for being a super team. It's like, dude, you won 65 games. What do you like? Is this like you want to be the MVP? Like, dude, you just lost. Come on, weird quote. I didn't like it.
What was he trying to say there?
He was basically just trying to say, like, I think the interviewer asked him, how are the Celtics treated differently than the other teams in the NBA? And he was like, there's just so much pressure, you know, everyone calls us a super team, but we have no award winners. I don't know if he was bitching.
He's just saying, like, just get off my ass.
I think so, but weird quote.
I mean, once you start diving into your guys' quotes after games, then... you can really start to spiral.
Oh yeah, yes.
After losses, after wins, it's great. Mm-hmm. After losses, there's no reason to watch a press conference.
No, not at all. I mean, this is the Caris LeVert game. I'd give him a 65% Celtics killer. He's not on the official list, but he's had some games against us that have been pretty good.
He's not Caleb Martin.
No, he's not Caleb Martin. But this game, 21, Donovan Mitchell had his almost 30 bomb, and Evan Mobley has been the key to the Cavs here in this game. He was excellent. 21 points, needed that from him. It'll be weird to see what they try to do with Allen coming back eventually, because it seems like this Mobley thing has sort of been working well. Like, he had a bunch of rebounds the first game. I know they lost.
That's what I'm saying. Kind of looks like a better team without him on the.
Yeah, it's almost like they don't have a redundant center in the way of Mobley.
I mean, we've talked that point to ground, I think.
Yep, and it's the same things were shown with Garland too. As we said, I mean, he's been bad this playoffs. He had 14 tonight, 7 rebounds, which is nice, but hasn't been the Garland that we've expected. I don't know. As we said earlier, I'm still not worried. I don't think the Cavs take another game. But these game twos at home are very annoying. Like, if this comes to finals, you can't lose this game two at home. There's no room for that.
Yeah, well, because if it's the finals, like, we won't be coming on here and you're saying, I'm not worried anymore.
No, yeah. I'm gonna be just shaking in my,
like,
boots.
They won't play like this again. You have to go back to Minnesota. You're not gonna be feeling like that. Mm-mm. Two very, very different losses.
All right, on the west side from last night, I think the Mavs kind of had a similar game to the Heat in game two against the Celtics, where they kind of just had a perfect shooting night, and they kind of had all the stars, not all the stars come together, but all
this
their
was
players
the best
come together.
That Lucas looked in a little bit.
Yep.
Like, just in terms of efficiency.
Yeah, and it's funny, Luka...
Four threes in, like, the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, so he popped off in the first quarter. He had, like, 15. And then going into late in the third, I saw they pulled up the graphic. He's had, like, 5 points since. And then I guess in the fourth quarter, he had 9. So, pretty good game from him in the quarters that were necessary. Kyrie didn't have a great scoring game, but 11 assists. He controlled the ball. He was the point guard for the team, which was nice. Gafford Love the 13-7 from Gafford. Give me that every night. PJ Washington, that dude hit 7 threes. Got 29 points.
You need games like that. If you're going to make a finals run, you need guys like PJ Washington to step up and have big nights.
Yep.
He's had a pretty good playoffs, though.
Yeah. And it's funny with this Mavericks team, because they find out early, like, hey, does Exum have it? Does Tim Hardaway have it? Josh Green have it? Lively have it? And then if they don't have it, they just kind of have the other, they're like, all right, Derek Jones is going to play. Gafford's going to play. One of Tim Hardaway, Josh Green, and Exum are going to play. So they kind of have sneaky depth, because it's either they're hit or miss, you know, every night, where it's like one of these guys should be pretty solid for us. But they had a dream,
like,
game.
When you have Luka and Kyrie, that's what you need. Mm-hmm. You just need one more scorer to step up on any given night. I mean, and even last night, like, Kyrie didn't even break 10 points. He took 8 shots the whole game.
That's still fine. That's crazy. Nine points off 8 shots in a playoff game. That's great.
It does, like, they are a team that just, obviously, like, Luke is going to get the most shots every night, but outside of that, it really is just whoever has the hot hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and...
Which is weird. Like, you wouldn't expect that from a Kyrie Irving team, but he's just a different player.
He's completely reinvented himself on this team, and especially this year with the... We talked about it, I think, when they played the Clippers, where, you know, he wasn't in the news. He didn't miss a ton of games. He wasn't saying anything crazy, just playing hoops. And when you can get Kyrie like that, he's one of the best players in the league. So it's definitely been a huge win for the Mavericks here. The Thunder, on the other side, they did not have a good shooting game at all. They were close. I mean, the game was close throughout the whole time. The Mavericks kind of ran away with it right at the end. And it was, I thought it was interesting that they couldn't, like, it felt like at the end when they needed it most, they couldn't get a rebound, which I thought was a little concerning. Mm-hmm. If I'm OKC, especially if you're going up against Denver, if you're going up against, Minnesota, you're going to get out rebounded. So Chet can't be the biggest rebounder every game. I guess that's my point.
Well, it's Shea in this game.
That's what I meant. Shea.
Wild.
Because it should be Chet. It should be Chet. Giddy needs to get more.
Yeah. I mean, like, he just needs to be stronger. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs to bulk up, or he's going to get, like, as big as he, or as long as he is, he can't out strength guys for rebounds.
Yeah, he can't. And if they end up losing this series to the Mavericks, it's going to be because... it's hilarious how I'm going to say this. It's going to be because of Gafford and Lively and Washington.
When you can throw those two guys at him, like, that's significant.
Yeah. No, it definitely...
It's not easy to play again.
No. And they're big. They definitely... I don't know what the actual weight is, but I'm guessing both of those guys weigh more than Chet does.
I would assume so.
Yeah. And just throwing big bodies at him is what's going to be the problem for the Thunder. And... You know, if he's getting stuck under 15 points, that's not a winning. That's not what OKC wants whatsoever.
Yeah. Derek Lively in his 20 minutes was plus 18.
I know, and he only scored 2 points.
Wild. It's just the presence.
Yep. Yeah, it's just the guy in the middle right there. So it's 1-1 right now. Which, if you're a fan of either team, what's your confidence level looking like? I guess if you're an OKC fan. Coming out of this game,
I still think it's 50-50. I, like, after watching game one, I was like, this is going 2-0. Thunder could not miss a shot, it felt like, in the first game, and they were just throwing Lou Dort at Luka, and he was putting the clamps on him.
The Dort chamber.
I feel like, like, it's such a funny thing to say, but it's very real, because mm-hmm. when he's on defensively, like, he makes your life a living hell. So I was like, I don't think the Thunder are going to lose a game at home. And then last night happens where all of a sudden they can't hit shots and they can't get rebounds. I don't know. I feel like this is going to go similar to the Mavs Clippers series, where we just kind of go back and forth.
going to be tied 2-2 coming back to OKC for game five. I think this is like the biggest toss-up series that we have right now. Well, I guess it's tied 1-1, so that makes sense. But like the talent on both sides is very, very close.
I was going to say, it seems like both teams have enough good players and like just the right amount of flaws where this is going to go seven. Where it's like they can, it seems like they can expose these flaws of either of the teams. And if you're a Mavericks fan, you got to really worry about Luka's knee. You got to make sure his knee is good. Whatever magic he rubbed on it before this game, you got to make sure he has more of it. And they live or die by Luka. So no matter how good Kyrie's playing, Gafford, you know, Washington, all these guys, if Luka's not going to be scoring 20 plus points, they're not going to be winning the game. So they need to make sure that he stays healthy. He gets his spots, and he looked good. He looked better than he has since game 3 of the Clippers.
He looked horrible in game 1.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked hurt. All right.
Future on the Mavs to win the finals, so.
Oh, nice.
I'm biased. I'm trying not to be biased. I don't think that I am.
No, I don't think you were. All right, let's preview tonight's games. In 30 minutes, we're going to have Knicks-Pacers game 3. The Knicks at home.
A line for this game.
Is there a line?
These are favored by like 7.
The Knicks are favored by 7?
Oh, the Pacers are.
Oh. Probably because OJ Anunoby's out, right? And they're at home. They're not going to have that whistle.
Yeah, that's a big point swing. I know. I don't know what Brunson's deal is either. He says he's fine, but no.
The Knicks are going to be in some trouble because I know they got the first two games. They had them at home. You know, that's how it's supposed to go. They had some whistle help. I'm not going to get all into it, but they definitely had some whistle help in those games. There was some fishy business going on. But without OG Anunoby, they have 6 players to play in this game. Like
And Robinson's done for the playoffs.
Yeah, Robinson's done for the playoffs. You have Josh Hart, who already played 48 minutes last game. DiVincenzo, who played 44 last game. Brunson played 32. Did he get injured at the end of the last game? Is that why you're questioning?
He was hurt. He came out for a little bit, like midway through the game. Okay. And then he came back in.
All right. Then he'll play 48 minutes tonight. Hartenstein, like all these guys are going to play 40 plus minutes. And you're going to have to rely on Precious and Miles McBride, maybe an Alex Burke minutes like they did last game. Maybe we see some.
And Miles McBride had one big shot for him earlier.
Yeah.
In the Sixers series.
Yeah, no, he had a decent game or two. What'll be interesting to me is if they bring out Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was the guy that they got at the trade deadline. He ended up not being in the rotation even. Everyone thought he was going to be a big player for this Knicks team. Maybe we see some of him. I don't see why you wouldn't throw him out there. You know, a veteran shooter that can get some points and just give Josh Hart a rest for a day or a minute even.
Yeah, loves, like, but it doesn't tolerate guys that don't play defense.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I'll play defense.
No, he doesn't play defense at all. But they're running out of fellas here. Like, you're really going to throw an Alex.
They're running these guys in the ground, too. Like, it's such a classic Thibodeau team. Like,
yeah, by
like, before any injury problems, they had 7 guys that were getting minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be this great Knicks run is going to end that way, where they're just going to run out of players. Like, if they beat the Pacers, they make it to the conference finals, they're going to all be playing 40 plus minutes until the finals or until they lose in the conference finals.
They're not going to be able to make it.
No, they're going to run out of legs. Like, they're just going to run out of hot bodies to throw out there.
It's OG. Like, what's his stat? I know he's out for this game, but what's his, you know, with the rest of the series?
Not sure. I'm looking. He's hamstring, questionable. He's ruled out.
On that.
Brunson's questionable.
Ooh, yeah. Hamstrings are not great.
No. hamstrings are definitely not great. I say I would bet that if they do make the conference finals, I feel like we see OG Anunoby again. That would be my guess.
I think so.
But I don't think we see him for the rest of the Pacers series. This is the Pacers game to win or to lose, I guess. As you said, favored by 7 now at home. They're hopefully not going to get that whistle. Let's bring Caitlin Clark out on a stupid race car again. Let's have her hype up the crowd. let's go Pacers. The one thing that bothers me about the Pacers is their uniforms. I hate the yellow in New York. I just don't. It's so boring to me. Like watching that game, I was getting bored by the yellow Pacers. I don't know. It's just plain yellow. They have like a little diamond on their shorts or something.
I guess yeah. Like the uniform itself is not like they should have never gotten rid of the pinstripes.
No, and they should have had white pinstripes for this game instead of yellow. Like New York's wearing blue, so I get it. You can't wear your blue, but I don't know, these yellow Pacers uniforms were just like ugly to look at on the screen. It's appalling to my eyes.
It's fair.
And let me see. I think they have a cool in season tournament one that they'll.
While we're at it, I think the Knicks should wear their classic uniforms. Like, why are they wearing? Why are they switched up when you have one of the most iconic jerseys?
Yeah, why are they wearing the blue? I think it's because it's like the city edition. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm guessing the Pacers will.
Like the NBA. Like, this is a conversation for
midsummer, day,
maybe in July.
Yeah, when they release the new city uniforms and we can rank them. I can't wait.
They always have to force these uniforms in the play. Like when it's the playoffs, I want to see the classics.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree.
I don't want to see the Warriors in gray playing the Cavs in black.
Yeah, or like when the Bucks were like playing playoff games in blue. It's like, the hell's going on here?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it is trash. We had a great Tyrese Halliburton game in this game too. Good. I think that vows confidence if you're a Pacers fan. I think if you're a Pacers fan, you've been in these games. You were right there until the end. Your coach gets kicked out of this last game. The first game, there's a kickball that's completely ridiculous that ruins a 5-point swing. And it just completely ruins that game. So if you're a Pacers fan, if you could take care of business tonight, I would expect that you take care of business the following night in Indiana, and then you just hope you can steal one in New York.
He comes back, you too.
Yeah, and then you just hope you can steal one in
New York. I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, they've been right there.
Yeah.
It's not like for all the excitement that the Garden gets, it's not like they've been awesome at home.
No.
Like, they've had, I guess they're 4-1 now. They had the game that they sold to the Sixers, and then 2 ref jobs.
Yeah.
You want to call it that?
Yeah, and I like, you know, you never blame a ref for a complete game, but there was definitely some
I am so sick of hearing about the referees. Like this has been the worst playoffs
for the refs. Yeah,
in terms of referee, and like now the Pacers are submitting complaints about it. Like, I'm so sick.
Did
of
you
it.
See that Rick Carlisle sent him a list of complaints, and the NBA sent him a check. $34,000 fine.
It is like, I mean, it's just so annoying.
Yeah, it is.
As a fan, I have to talk about this.
Yeah, because no one wants to talk about it, and we'll get to
it's
it.
Always
talk
been,
about
it's been the Knicks every time too.
We'll talk about the
it's
Wolves.
Like, oh, it's because they're the New York Knicks, and
well, yeah, there has to be something. Like there's got to be something to there. It is the Garden, you know. The Jalen Brunson is now the most popular Knick of since the 90s. He's beaten Melo.
He's definitely more popular than Melo.
Yeah, he's definitely more popular than Melo.
And Ewing?
Maybe. Like,
I mean, we went around for that, so I couldn't.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. To it. Yeah, but people freaking love Brunson, and deservingly so. This guy's a dog. I do think this is a perfect series for him. You saw him struggle a little bit in the Sixers series early because there were some bigger guards on him. Halliburton doesn't play great defense, so I think this is a great series for him. dang, you know, I should have come prepared. I just realized, like, right now, that now that I have FanDuel and everything back in my life, next pod, we're going to have to come in with some wise parlays.
I might take the Pacers tonight. I guess I have to get that in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think
that line is telling me.
There's something about the Nuggets tonight, too. And we'll get to that. Well, let's just go to that game right now.
Okay.
There's something with, like, I know
you can't go down 3-0, right?
That's what I'm saying. And they looked horrible. They looked horrible the past two games. So,
yeah, because game one, you were like, wow, like, Edwards, this guy is incredible. And you just chalk it up to that. And then game two, they beat him by 30. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's 30 within, like.
Maybe we were just wrong.
And I think what the key is that the end of the bench for the Nuggets just isn't as strong as the end of the bench was last year. They have Christian Brown.
And the end of the bench was, we're talking about two guys.
Yeah.
Last year it was, what, Bruce Brown and, like, Jeff Green?
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, and now
we come in for, like, 6 minutes.
Yeah, and now it's Christian Brown and Reggie Jackson. And I think that drop-off alone is pretty powerful. Like, they played 22 minutes of Justin Holiday. I know they were down 30, so, like, that's probably why he was playing. But, I mean, Murray had a terrible game. Jokic, you know, he's still
got 16. That's my biggest takeaway. I think Murray, like, he's dealing with injury stuff right now, and he's not Jamal Murray.
No, he's not, right.
I think that's why they're struggling.
Everyone's going to want us. They're going to talk about the damn towel incident, throwing the towel on the ground. Yeah, the heat
pack. It was pretty bad.
It was bad. Nobody tripped over it. Nobody fell. Nobody got injured. And I'm telling you right now, the NBA is not suspending him when they're down 2-0. If they're up 2-0, maybe they suspend him for a game. But there's no chance in hell that they're going to suspend the second best player on the defending champions when they're down 2-0. It's not going to happen.
No. Of course not.
No. Anthony Edwards scares the shit out of me. This guy's so good. He is he's the hero that America wants. America needs. All these foreign players are coming in, getting all the limelight, getting the MVPs. They said the past six Kia MVPs have been foreign-born players. I thought...
Really?
Yeah, so it was Jokic, past two... Jokic.
Three times, Embiid, Giannis.
Giannis twice, I think. So that would be six.
I guess so it's three guys.
Yeah, it's three guys, but it is the past six MVPs. So...
Yeah,
and you know, I think that's crap. Embiid can't claim to be on Team USA and then also be a foreign player in the league.
That's true. Yeah,
you got to pick one here, Embiid.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's not like submitting that stat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He was born in Cameroon.
Sorry. I thought this was another. I saw Monty Morris on the Timberwolves in the stat sheet, and I was like. I thought it was Markeith. I was like, no way, they have the other Morris brother.
After we just talked about that.
Yeah. But they play great defense. Naz Reid is such a great weapon off the bench. Mike Conley's great. Like they don't have to rely on young guys, which is nice. There's no one on this team that they don't have, I think, complete confidence every time they're out there. They're killing it, man. They're absolutely killing
it. Yeah. I mean, I would just like to hand up everything I said before the playoffs about how it might not matter that much that their defense was so good because it was the regular season and everyone steps up in the playoffs anyway. That was dead wrong.
Yeah.
Like, they just held the Nuggets to 80 without the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Gobert did not play this game.
No. Yeah. So, well,
I mean, Naz Reid has been unbelievable through two games.
He's the man.
He's filled in very nicely. He's the man.
He's the absolute man. I mean, so, they didn't have Rudy Gobert, and this also leads to a previous discussion that we need to bring back. Is it time to apologize for shitting on the Rudy Gobert trade?
Oh yeah.
Definitely. I think so too. I think we just bite the bullet there and just say, you know.
Yep.
And I think even.
But when you, like, when you have Anthony Edwards, it makes it a lot easier.
Yes. Yes. And as we've seen,
not saying that, like, they not do it again if they could go back, but like, that's not the reason that they're at this point.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I just thought my mindset was that Anthony Edwards is going to be too young by the time this Rudy Gobert trade is going to matter. But Anthony Edwards said, I ain't too young. I'm ready to go. And he's ready to win the championship right now. So, man, they're going to need, I do think the Nuggets take this though. And like, come on, it's too easy. Like, everyone's gonna be like, like, everyone's like,
I feel like people have already just written the Timberwolves into the finals.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Nuggets are done.
Like, someone has two good games in a row, and it's, I wonder what their odds to win the series are right now.
I might take them.
Because who's the better team? Like, I still think the Nuggets are a better team. It's tough to go back to back. That's the other thing.
Yes.
Like, look at the Bucks after they won the finals.
Mm-hmm. They've done nothing since. They haven't even won a playoff series since, I don't think.
I think they won one. They lost to the Celtics in the second round.
Yep. Yeah. So they beat, like, the
Hawks
or something.
One playoff series.
Yeah, like the Bulls or something.
they lost to an 8 seed the next year.
Yep. And then, then lost to the Heat.
It was the Heat, and Giannis was out, but still.
So, yeah, I think going into this, like, you have. We've seen this before. I only know it as the Celtics, but that's just because I'm a Celtics fan. When the Celtics, they were down 2-0 against the Bulls. They lost both their home games. I forget what year it was, but they ended up winning the series anyways. And so it's possible. It's definitely possible. Let's not bury them yet, but it is it's a must-win game tonight. You can't be down 3-0. 3-0, I have no
idea.
But you have to, yeah. But you can definitely take one here. Even if you take one here, you're down 3-1. Still, I mean, you have game 7 at home. So
yeah, you give them game 5 at home, which they've lost 2 at home, so I don't know if you can just do that. But then game 6, you just got to win one on the road.
It'll be really interesting tonight. It'll be really interesting tonight if the Timberwolves, if they blow them out again, it's, all right, this team's ready for the finals. Because this team's going to whoop OKC and Mavericks. Either team. They are going to whoop them.
Hey?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think you put... Well,
if the Nuggets just lay down, then yeah. Like, if this series goes long, then that changes things.
That's fair. I was just thinking, you put the Jaden McDaniels role. That's Lu Dort. You throw him at Luka. You could swallow up the centers with both the centers that they have. I know Karl Anthony Towns doesn't play the best defense in the world, but he's a bigger body than Chet. And Gafford would get punished by Gobert. Gobert was playing. Oh, I love Gafford. Come on.
Gobert just is like a much better Gafford.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And if Edwards plays at this level, he's the best player on the floor. He's about, like, if he plays at this level, I have more confidence in him than
I don't know. But if Luka plays his best game, we just haven't seen it yet. I don't know. This is all like
no. Yeah, it's all hypothetical. But I kind of like it. So if Luka, it's like, say Luka has 40, what does the rest of the team have to make up? Is my question. Is like they're gonna need. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
We seem like, how do we beat the Timberwolves?
Yeah, like if this was their. If this was the Mavericks' best game by their supporting cast last night, where you have 29 from PJ Washington, 13 from Gafford, great Kyrie Irving assist game, 17 from Tim Hardaway off the bench, do you need that and a 40 bomb from Luka? And maybe 15 from Kyrie, 20 from Kyrie? Like that, I guess the one thing I haven't factored in is that Kyrie could definitely play better and he could score 40 in any of these playoff games.
Yeah.
And, I think that's an underrated thing I wasn't thinking of. So, I don't know. You're right. It is a hypothetical. It'd be great to see them. That would be a fun matchup. I think that'd be more fun than OKC. I think OKC just gets... I know I've been saying it all throughout the playoffs, and they've lost one game in the playoffs, but they're just not big enough.
Yeah.
And I think the Timberwolves, like the fact that they were able to swallow the Nuggets.
It's so intimidating the size that they throw you. They have three guys that are 6'11" that and, play 35 minutes.
Yeah, and Anthony Edwards plays great defense. He's what, like 6'4"? So he's and he's big. He's built like a football player. So this is a scary team to go up against. It's hard to game plan. They're literally built to beat the Nuggets too. So
yes,
like they are built completely to beat the Nuggets. So if you're a Nuggets fan, you know, you're upset, but I wouldn't be. I'd be crying into my championship shirt, you know.
They're plus 425 to win the series right now. Denver is.
I might throw a sneaky money on that.
Those are plus 700.
Who's plus 700?
Caps.
No. Oh, they were like plus, I think they were plus 500 last night. They were minus 14 underdogs.
Insane. Also, DraftKings has a Bronny James section that you can bet on.
Just to see where he gets drafted.
It's just, who will draft Bronny James? The Lakers are plus 190.
Yeah, they had, there was a report today that they were interested in taking him. Before we move off to baseball,
your next team.
I think we hit everything with basketball. But there's one more breaking news that just happened. Mike Budenholzer is now the Suns' head coach. Signed a 5-year deal. 11 minutes.
Oh, ago. 5 years. So long.
These coaches have the best job in the NBA. Best dude, job.
I don't they get him and Doc Rivers?
Dude, so they.
Budenholzer has had a lot of regular season success, in all fairness.
And he has a championship.
He's won championship.
Mm-hmm. But this is what I was. This is what I would say. If you're an NBA head coach here, like Frank Vogel has a chip from not too long ago, and he just got fired. Some other team's going to pick him up. But they always give him these 5-year deals. Frank Vogel's going to be getting paid by the Suns for the next 4 years. And it does. So he, like, this is great because the players play bad. They blame the coach, and then you just get to keep all the money. Like, what? It's like a win-win.
It's like a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. If you're okay with being the lamb,
$10 million a year.
You're a sacrificial cash cow. That's what you are. this is Kevin Durant has had 6 head coaches and 2 playoff series wins since he left Golden State.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
And LeBron has had 6 head coaches, I think, since he joined the Lakers. All these guys do. The second you have a star on your team, it's like, well, just get ready to have a new job every year because you're going to be some other superstar is going to want you to coach their team because they think you're a good coach. And you'll just bounce around from city to city for a year. It's a good deal. It's a great deal.
Yeah, that's right. It happens more so in hockey than it does in basketball. Believe it or not. Like the guy coaching the Rangers right now, this is his 6th team.
See, if that's the NFL, you're just out. You're done.
Yeah, right. You get 2 chances in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. You're an assistant coach. You're done after 2. Yeah, you're done.
Yeah. No, hockey, if you've won once, you can just keep getting jobs over and over again. It's so ridiculous. It's really funny though.
All right. I'm not going to talk about how Mike Budenholzer is going to save the Suns because they're screwed. So I'm just not even going to pretend.
Me that 2026 picks.
Yeah. One. Yeah. This is
licking my chops.
Yeah. So let's go on baseball talk. How far are we into the season?
We are about 35, close to 40 games in.
Okay.
At this point, so about a quarter.
Okay.
We played 4 NFL games if we want to do that comparison.
Okay.
Well, I guess with 17 games, we played 4 games in 1 quarter.
All right.
That's always like the trendy baseball thing is like
compare it to
those on opening day. People freak out and it's like it's been 1 drive of a football
yeah,
season.
Yeah, yeah.
but just fine. I know we have probably mainly NFL listeners, so it might help a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison. So What's been surprising you? What's been disappointing you? Take it where you want to go.
Well, I mean, we can start with my team.
Yeah, let's do it.
If we just go from the top of the standings down, I mean, the Phillies have the best record in baseball right now.
Nice.
Which is pretty hard to believe, considering they start almost every season in a 10-game hole, and you're clawing back until August when you're finally back in a playoff spot. So yeah, they're 14 games over 500 right now. Everything's clicking. The starting pitching has been maybe not the best in the league, but the best that it's been here in a long time.
And that's been the main problem, right?
Six home runs in his last five games. The what?
The pitching's been the main problem, right?
I mean, it used to be the bullpen was the problem every year. Last year they just got cold. They're like their last, I guess it was five games, they couldn't hit at all. It's just such a long season. I can't even think about the playoffs right now. I'm just trying to enjoy what they have going right now.
Yeah.
But around the league, I guess, if we stay in that division, Marlins have been shockingly bad. I think like their two best pitchers have been injured too, and they just have nobody good in their lineup. Of course, I'm going to say that, and then they're going to beat the Phillies tonight. But Nats have been a pleasant surprise. If you're a Nats fan, they're at 500. Much better than they were supposed to be. Mets are mediocre. Braves, a lot of the guys that usually mash, like Olsen, Acuna, have been cold for their standards, and their best pitcher Strider's done for the year. So, they'll be fine, but it's not the juggernaut Braves that we're used to. The Dodgers, speaking of juggernauts, had a slow start to the year, but they're all the way back. They look unbelievable. Ohtani hasn't missed a beat, even with all the betting stuff going on. He's in the clear now.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Pretty clear.
His boy, his translator or whatever, if we do top five boys, he's top five. He made the list. Because that dude has taken so much money in the drain. He's now going to take jail time in the drain. And it was Ohtani. Come on.
What? You still think that it was Ohtani?
It had to be. Come on. You see him at the...
I don't know. There were weird things with it because they were all chummy like literally hours before the news broke.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was clips of them in the dugout, but I don't know.
And
$16 million. But did you see like the text that got leaked with his bookie?
I did not.
He's like, I'm really bad at this, LOL. After he just lost like $10 million. It's wild.
But he's the fall guy. He's taking the blame and he's taking the heat.
I don't know. Like I've come around. I'm willing to give Ohtani the benefit of the doubt here. At first it was super, it was very suspect.
Just very that suspect. So you're but saying like, that it was a lot of
covering this up.
Yeah, so you're saying it was the translator doing it.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
I like to think that he's just the boy and he's just taking the fall. Like I honestly have no idea, but I would love to think that he's just the dude.
That's what I thought that for at least a couple weeks. Just because the whole thing was weird. But that we should do top five boys. That would be good. Top
dude, think about it. If I'm Ohtani, I'd be like, you take this fall, take the jail time. In 5 years, I'm getting $50 million a year. You have half one, literally one season. You'll be set for life.
Like the mob.
Yeah, but
you just gotta take the jail time. Like take one for the team.
Here. Yeah, and if you're Shohei, you do the opposite. You're like, look, if I take the jail time, nobody's gonna get any of this money. Like we're gonna be screwed. It's a perfect scenario.
I mean, no one's gonna get any of the money because he's gonna gamble it all away.
It's true. It's true.
He'll be down $40 million.
He'll be hanging out with Bruno Mars in the Depth Club.
Just hitting baseballs in Vegas.
Yeah. God. Poor Bruno Mars. He just wanted to be a billionaire so bad. So bad.
Probably could have been if he just invested his money.
Yeah, it's gambling. $50 million.
I would have been fine. Anyway, they're a machine. Mookie Betts is going to win the MVP, which sucks for you guys.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't make any sense. But they're like have to be the favorite to win the World Series right now. They swept the Braves last weekend, and a couple of the games weren't even close. So for them, it's like, will their pitching hold up throughout a whole season in the playoffs, which jury's still out on since we're halfway through May, not even halfway through May. Rest of that division doesn't look great. Just a lot of mediocre teams.
Yeah, what's up with the Padres? They shipped off Machado, right?
Such a disappointment. Soto's a Yankee. Okay. They just traded for Luis Arraez, who won the batting title last year with the Marlins.
The Marlins are just selling. Luis Arraez
would be like the yes, which is smart. Like
yeah, they're 10-29. Yeah, they're terrible.
They were a playoff team last year.
Yeah, and they're gonna be the first team to lose 30 games. Rockies have they have 9 wins. And
look at the White Sox. Actually, wait, the Marlins have a worse record than the White Sox. That's shocking. a couple really, really bad teams. That's, I guess, those are the three.
What's up with the Astros?
Houston has been shockingly bad.
They can't cheat anymore?
No. It's weird because, like, Altuve has still been Altuve. It's just like their pitching is completely falling apart. But yeah, it's hard to believe how bad that team has become. But yeah, I think everyone's loving that. And you're at the point where like you're 11 games under 500. It's not easy to come back from.
Yeah.
It can. Like, and it's such a long season. And doing the football thing, you would be 1-3, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty tough hole to dig out of.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a tough hole
to dig out of. Yeah, that's nice for baseball to have their asses out of the playoffs, hopefully. I'll say that, and then...
They're going to rattle off 10 wins in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I mean, if we stay in that division, the Oakland Athletics have had a damn good year. Been at 18-21 right now.
6-4 it doesn't make any sense 10.
When you look at... when you look at their lineup, though, you recognize like one or two guys, and they're not even that good. So I don't know how they're winning games. They do have this guy, Mason Miller, who is their closer, and he throws like 102. And I don't think he's given up a run since opening day. That might be a dated stat.
Is Moneyball back?
Page real quick. I don't think they're not trying to win though. That's
no, they don't have any fans there.
Like they're not winning. Like they're playing in Sacramento the next two seasons. They're at Vegas Stadium.
What a crock! What an absolute crock!
Oh, it's like I was listening to a podcast the other day and actually really getting mad about it. Upsetting.
It is upsetting. You're from Oakland.
Like, I get feeling like you had to leave Oakland because. Everyone's leaving Oakland. Collapsing city. They've been trying to get a stadium for so long. Haven't been able to. I don't think it's all been their fault. Like, I think the city hasn't done a lot to build that stadium. But the way that they've gone about this since has been pretty embarrassing. They sent down two guys to the minor leagues out of nowhere. And we might have talked about this. The guys that were wearing the wristbands... keep the A's in Oakland wristbands, and then all of a sudden they got sent down to the minor leagues. One of them was one of their best players.
That's so crap.
Ferreyr Ruiz, and they benched Brent Rooker, who was wearing one like a fan favorite. So
that's a loser move.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, that's a loser move.
It's so pathetic. It's so pathetic. But yeah, they've actually fielded a decent baseball team this year so far. The end is coming for that. Like they'll probably have a stretch where they lose 15 games in a row. But for now, they're staying afloat. Chicago White Sox, horrible.
So I was
I think they were like
3-20 to start the year.
I
actually had a nice little stretch here.
I saw a picture on Twitter, and it was an empty baseball stadium, basically. There was like 20 people there, and I thought it was the A's. So I was like, fly me to Oakland as soon as possible. Because I like that, dude, that would be so much fun to just go to a baseball game with no one there.
I see a baseball game with no one.
Yeah, that would be sweet. But
then Chicago.
Then it was Chicago. Someone commented down, like, oh, that's Chicago, buddy. It's like, Jesus, Chicago? And I guess they have the Cubs, so it's like they could just very easily go to a decent
team. Yeah, and the Cubs sell out every game.
Yeah. So
even when they're bad.
God damn.
But the White Sox are in a similar spot with the owner where, like, it's Jerry Reinsdorf. Remember from The Last Dance?
Yeah.
Going to the Bulls.
That guy's still alive?
Yeah. Yeah, he owns the White Sox.
I forget. They didn't have him speak in the documentary, right?
No, he did.
Oh.
He spoke a lot. Just to shit on Jerry Krause.
Yeah. Oh, that's no, who I guess I'm thinking of. Krause. I'm thinking of Krause, not the...
because Krause died.
Yeah, that's who I was... Yeah, okay. That's who I was.
Yeah, Reinsdorf he's still there. And they all hate him. There's so much drama in baseball. Like, it's the most dramatic sport off the field, I think.
Whoa.
But the NBA is the most dramatic on the court.
I don't know. The summer times get clogged by NBA trades and rumors and
And that's what I'm not saying personnel stuff.
Okay. So you're talking like the business wise. Like,
business, yeah. And the league itself, the owners, the rule changes. It's like, it's such a sideshow. And it's so annoying for people that just want to watch baseball because every year there's something like this. Now we have to deal with this whole... The big story right now is that there's too many pitchers getting injured because all the coaches and scouts just preach, like, velocity and stuff. So, like, they'd rather have a guy that throws 100 and has a hard slider than a guy who has 5 different pitches and just has really good control. And every one of those guys gets Tommy John surgery at least once. The best pitcher in baseball, Jacob DeGrom, has had, like, 3 Tommy John surgeries.
Jesus.
And the guy that I was talking about on the Braves, Strider, like, this is his 3rd year, I think. Hurt, 2nd game of the season, done for the year.
So what's the fix?
That's, like, nobody knows. But the MLB put together some sort of, like, task force, which I'm sure will do a great job in figuring out how to address it. But the fix is just changing the way that they try to develop pitching, I think.
Is that...
A lot of people, like, some people that don't like the pitch clock will try to blame it on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to a degree, it can't be good for your arm to all of a sudden take less time to throw hard.
Yeah.
And resting for a little bit longer.
Well, and they don't have the stickiness anymore, right? They don't have the stuff on the
stickiness is another thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of the spider tack. There's a lot that goes into it. I don't know what they'll end up doing about it. Probably nothing, like they usually do. They'll just shave 2 more seconds off the pitch clock, which is what they did this season. And this is the stuff that's ridiculous. The pitch clock, you can't, like, I don't think you can even argue that it was a resounding success last year. And this year they're like, oh, let's just shave 2 more seconds off. Like, why?
Yeah, like, everyone likes it last year.
The average game time has gone down by a minute after taking these 2 seconds off. So I don't know. That's what I mean. But, like, the pitch clock being a success was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
After everything and the bigger bases, like, it's fun. So they made, like, last year was a step in the right direction, and now you have all the injuries and the 2 more seconds and the A's stuff, and yeah, it's just dramatic.
I just love the fact that bigger bases is just, like, a thing, like, just bigger bases. All right, what about you haven't talked about the best league yet, the American League East.
Yeah, sorry. There's a lot in my brain that I need to, like, vent about.
Oh, yeah, sport. No, it's okay.
I mean, the American League East is probably the best division in baseball. You got the worst team right now is the Blue Jays, who are 17-20. And they've honestly, like, for their standards, they've looked horrible, and they're still only 3 games under 500. It's just a gauntlet. Tampa's kind of the same team every year where they don't really have anyone who's that impressive.
I feel like every time we do this, I see their standing and it's 500. Yeah. Like I see that
Tampa.
Yeah.
Dude, last year they started 10-0 and they were in first place for a while until the O's caught up to them.
So the
O's, they, like
those are on fire. Yankees are on fire. Sox are above 500. That's something.
Red Sox have a really good pitching staff.
Really?
Like guys that young guys, Tanner Houck, I think that's how you say his last name. He used to be a reliever. He's a starter now. It's like my whole fantasy team is just Red Sox pitchers and I'm in first place.
Oh, I mean when you have a guy Carter named Crawford, Cam Boozer. Dirty. He's gotta be dirty. He's a boozer.
Nick Pivetta, I think, is hurt, but now coming back, he's a former Philly. Actually good now with Boston. They don't have many bats. That's their issue. So they're a decent team. Like I wouldn't be shocked if they got a wild card spot. The Yankees with Soto. I hate to say it, but I love it. I don't know why. Because I've always hated Soto. And I wouldn't say I hate the Yankees, but I've never rooted for the Yankees. And there's something about him in that uniform that gets me going.
The pinstripes?
I don't, maybe like, I think it is the pinstripes. And I'm like, this is just where he belongs. So I hope they re-sign him. I think it's good for baseball. Judge has been terrible this year, but he's starting to hit bombs again. And they have Garrett Cole coming back probably in a month. He won the Cy Young last year, so they're in a good spot. That might be the best division race this year, the Orioles and the Yankees for first place.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles look like a machine.
I know. Who would have
thought? That lineup is so deep, and they have so many prospects still coming up. Like they brought up Jackson Holliday for like 3 weeks, and he went like 4 for 50 with 25 strikeouts, and they sent his ass back down to AAA. So he's still wait like he's the number one prospect in baseball, and he looked like the worst player you've ever seen, and is now just back in the minors. But he'll be back at some point. They just need a bullpen. They have Kimbrel as their closer right now, and he's had back to back outings where he has to get taken out of the game because he's in process of blowing the save, and they've had to yank him. Their real closer, Felix Bautista, at Tommy John, he got hurt last year, and he's out this whole year. So they're kind of screwed there. And if they don't trade for more bullpen guys, they're not going to win in the playoffs. It's as simple as that. But they do mash. It's a really good lineup. Gunnar Henderson might win the MVP.
Yeah, I'm seeing his name everywhere.
I think he's the favorite right now. Him or Soto? I think Soto's probably the favorite right now. But again, it's May. That's the best division race, I would say. The West is pretty interesting too. It's because the Mariners, if their pitching has been so damn good, their lineup just sucks. And Julio Rodriguez, who was my pick to win MVP this year, he's hit like a home run and is hitting 219, something like that. But he started slow last year. Oh, 262, that's better than I thought. Still only one home run. So he's going to get going at some point, and that's going to elevate them. So I do think that they make the playoffs. Texas just won the World Series and is missing like top three starting pitchers. So for them to be in first place is pretty impressive, and they'll be fine. Mike Trout's injured. That was another big story. He was leading the league in home runs, and they got hurt again. He cried in his interview. Made me sad.
Trout
hasn't played a full season in so long.
This clown MVP never made the playoffs.
Do not call Mike Trout a clown.
I know we've had this discussion, I think, on the pod before. It's just
what's he supposed to, what do you want him to do?
I don't know. Get out of there.
Want him to hit in all nine spots?
I want him to get out of there. Yeah, that's what I want him to do.
I do too. I mean, I want him to be the center fielder in Philadelphia. You're Eagles fan, he's an Angels fan.
Oh yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I'm looking at the Red Sox lineup when you were talking about them, and did they not like pay a bunch of money on a hitter like last year?
Oh, Trevor Story.
Yeah,
he's played like 12 games.
He's not even in their like players thing. Where is he still in the? Is he like?
I think he's hurt.
Oh, okay. That was his issue last year.
No.
Yeah. He played like 3 games this year, and then he got hurt.
Jesus.
So yeah, that was a huge waste, unfortunately.
That's a shame.
But they have some decent young guys. Like their first baseman, Casas, he's young, he's solid. Yoshida, one of their outfielders, is decent. And of course they have Devers, but yeah, not a lot of exciting players in Boston this year.
No. I mean,
they're about as mediocre as you could get.
I mean, that's what happens when you trade Mookie 5 years ago.
It's almost like when you trade one of the most exciting players away, then you're not as exciting.
No, definitely not.
All right, I guess two more divisions we haven't hit on. Central's, which are usually the worst to talk about because they all suck. The AL Central is having a renaissance this year.
I see that.
They have 4 teams over 500. And like the Kansas City Royals last year were very close to the Athletics in terms of worst record. They caught up to them at one point, but they signed Bobby Witt Jr. to like an 11-year extension, which you don't see in Kansas City. They're a small market team. He's been probably the best shortstop in baseball, him or Gunner, I guess. Steals bases, hits bombs. He's awesome. They've had a really good pitching staff, too. They just brought in, like, old vets. They've been holding down the fort. So I don't know how sustainable that is, but they've been definitely one of the most surprising teams. Detroit was kind of due to take a step forward. Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, he's on the Royals. Nice.
Yeah, they also had the best, or my favorite player, at least, is Vinny Pasquantino, the Pasquatch.
Pasquatch.
Their first baseman. He's my favorite.
That's awesome.
They have an actual Sasquatch that will like walk out by the scoreboard.
That's great.
Yeah, gotta love the Sasquatch. But the Tigers have a lot of young guys that starting to put it together a little bit. The Twins are like, I don't know how to describe the Twins. They're the least exciting good baseball team that there is.
Okay.
Like, they just won 12 games in a row recently. There's just not, like, it's very hard to get excited about the Twins. The only thing that they have going for them is their entrance for their closer is really cool. If you look it up, his name is something Duran. What's his closer? Johan Duran. Just look up entrance. And it's a lot of fun. It's kind of like the trumpet. It's not as good as the trumpets with Edwin Diaz, but it's pretty sick.
All right, and then I have the video Guardians. after the pod. I'll look at it.
Little treat. The Guardians are very similar. As you look at your lineup or their lineup, and you're like, who on this team is having a good year that's actually carrying them? They just always have good pitching. They just have like this factory down in AAA and AA of good pitchers that they bring up every year. Their best pitcher's out for the year. He's another Tommy John guy. And it just like doesn't matter. Bo Naylor and Josh Naylor, brothers. The Naylor, which is pretty cool.
And they play baseball? Yeah. That's sick. Naylors.
But yeah, Josh Naylor has had an awesome year. Jose Ramirez is always awesome. Steven Kwan is like an old school, never strike out, like just put the ball in the bat kind of guy. So they're a fun team to get behind, I think. But again, like not super exciting.
No future bet on them.
And of course, today all we care about is throwing 100 and hitting bombs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that Steven Kwan hits 290.
So the scoring has been up, correct? In these games?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I just meant for, it seems like, you know, like we're getting Phillies beating the Blue Jays by 10, Rangers scoring 15 against the Athletics, 11 for 7 on the Guardians. This was all on the 7th. Mariners 10 against the Twins 6. I feel like the scoring has been up. But maybe I'm wrong because there is a bunch of duds in here. There's,
you know, I couldn't tell you, honestly. I mean, like if you watch every Yankees game, you definitely would not say that.
like the Yankees, like every other game is 0-0 in the ninth. It's so horrible.
I don't know. I thought it was maybe because of the all these good pitchers are getting injured. Maybe all that leaves all these bad ones.
Yeah, I mean that would make sense. Definitely makes sense. There's just not that much good starting pitching anymore.
Yeah, like last night.
There's a couple teams that have really good rotations, but
Twins beating the Mariners 11-1. Jesus. Yeesh.
Mariners are one of the teams that has a really good rotation too.
What's up with the
who's pitching in that game?
What's up with the Giants?
Oh, the Giants are such a joke.
Really?
Just swept them this weekend. Their lineup is so piss poor. And like they made a couple big free agent signings. Like Blake Snell just won the Cy Young and he started two games and then got hurt. It's like when you wait until April to sign a contract, then you're not ready to pitch in the regular season.
That makes sense.
It's another can of worms. They have like a pretty decent pitching staff. They just cannot score runs and they suck at defense. Ooh. They have one like kind of exciting player, their center fielder,
Young-Hoo Lee
from Korea. He's pretty fun. He plays really good defense. He's fast.
His Google picture, like, he's just like in a sweatshirt. Everyone else is in baseball gear and he's in a sweatshirt. It's funny. He looks.
I guess like Patrick Bailey's a good defensive catcher, but he can't really hit. And then Lamont Wade, I guess, is a decent bat. I would hate to be a Giants fan. They're miserable. Miserable to watch. No offense. I just watched four of their games in a row and I was like, holy crap, this is painful.
I mean, they lost to the Rockies 9-1 yesterday. And then they got swept by you. Damn. They beat the Rockies twice. Plus,
we lose the Rockies.
But yeah, they lost 9-1.
I've speaking of like blowouts, I found myself caring more about run differential this year.
Dude, you beat them by 14-3.
I don't know if it's because the Phillies are so good right now, so it's like I'm just looking for other things to, because I feel like I know that they're gonna win. It's like I just want to beat the hell out of teams.
Yeah,
like, get that run differential up, because there's this, they call it Pythagorean win loss, which is just your wins and your expected wins and losses based on your run differential. And I like that number to be at least where their actual wins and losses are, or else I'll feel like a little guilty. So right now they're two games back of their Pythagorean win loss is two games back. So I want to get that up.
So you got it. Yeah. All right.
I want to beat the crap out of the Marlins this weekend.
That's great. Get that number. That's great. I love that.
I think it's because the Caps this year were like, the goal differential was such a big deal. It was like every game was like, oh, their goal differential just went down again. And then they got into the playoffs with -37.
Holy shit. -37.
And then you see what happened in the playoffs and like they just get swept out.
So I mean, I guess we're switching to hockey for a second. So basically the Capitals would win a bunch of low scoring games and then get blown out a lot.
Yes. That's precisely. They would just find ways to win, like,
so they were like the Steelers.
Crappy 2-1 games.
Yeah. The Steelers.
No, they were the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. The Kirk Cousins. But yeah. And then they lose to the Giants in the round one. Yeah. All right.
That makes perfect sense.
Yep. No, I don't want to be that team in baseball. I guess that's why I care so much.
Good way to
They're not it. That team in baseball. But yeah, none of those teams are like that.
All right. Anything
Giants should be worse. Their run differential is -42. Holy crap.
Like that, these numbers are ridiculous.
I actually hate the Giants. Just from watching, they made me so upset watching
them.
it was cringe. That's the best word that I can think of. Oh, Cassian, the home run.
Here we go. There we go. Get the differential up. Get it up there.
There's one.
All right. Anything else we got to cover for baseball? You think we got it all?
No, I think that's everything. I mean, that was like not super organized, just me looking at the standings and
ripping off whatever thoughts I had about all the different teams. So hopefully that was helpful if you don't follow a lot.
It helped me, and I don't follow a lot or at all.
So. I would say that I would try to be more structured, but I'm not going to. I have a lot of thoughts. They're going to come out. So
at some point, they will come out. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Check our Twitter beginning of next week. I'm going to post Monday at some point a schedule for the week. We'll make sure that we're within 10 minutes of those starting times on those dates. So check the Twitter for that. Subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Leave us a like. Follow us on Spotify, whatever the hell. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see everyone come Tuesday. Enjoy your Mother's Day.